news today, oh boy.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, if it's Monday, Russia is celebrating Victory Day. Yeah, don't get any ideas. It's the anniversary of the Soviet Union's defeat of Nazi Germany in World War II. So they celebrate in Russia. So Putin is celebrating with a speech in Red Square defending Russia's invasion of Ukraine as necessary to protect the homeland. He proclaimed Eastern Ukraine to be Russian territory. Russia also celebrated Victory Day in Mariupol, but without a parade. What Putin didn't do is what the media was hyperventilating over for the past few days. They worried that Putin would, but Putin did not declare official war against Ukraine, and he did not announce an escalation. Instead, he defended his military action in Ukraine as, quote, necessary, timely, and the only right solution. So this weekend, we saw Russia completing its assault on and destruction of Mariupol after the last 300 civilians were evacuated from the steel factory where they'd been taking shelter pretty much since the invasion began at the end of February. Typically, Victory Day is celebrated with thousands of troops assembling outside the Kremlin. This year appeared it was a little more low-key than usual, but they still had a parade and military and all that. But it came after 60 civilians were likely killed this weekend when a Russian aircraft dropped a bomb on yet another school, this one in Luhansk. There were a few surprises of the pleasant variety in Kyiv this weekend. First, First Lady Dr. Jill Biden took a detour from her trip to Romania and Slovakia to pay a Mother's Day visit to the First Lady of Ukraine, Olena Zelenska, who hadn't been seen publicly since the invasion began on February 24th. Dr. Biden's stop in the border town of Uzhhorod is aimed at providing an emotional boost to Kyiv and follows visits by high-ranking U.S. officials, including the Secretary of State and Defense Secretary. And there were other visitors, too. On Sunday, Canadian Prime Minister Justin Trudeau visited with Volodymyr Zelensky and in a subway station in Kyiv, Bono and the Edge of U2 performed a mini concert for the many people who were on the platform, and they were joined by the lead singer of the Ukrainian band Antilla, a guy named Tomas Topilia, who performed with Bono and the Edge. Also on Sunday, both Presidents Biden and Zelensky appeared in a virtual G7 conference where all the G7 countries, US, Canada, Japan, France, Germany, Italy, and Great Britain, all agreed to phase out Russian oil and gas imports in response to this invasion. The White House also announced broader sanctions against Russian industries crucial to Russia's military. Here at home, Congress is back in session and they're ready to work. Well, some of them are. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer is filing cloture on Monday to set up a vote on Wednesday in the Senate to codify Roe v. Wade into law. The only problem is it won't pass. They already know there are not the votes to get there. And Mitch McConnell is pouring more fuel on the fire. In an interview with USA Today published Saturday, McConnell said that a nationwide abortion ban was possible if Republicans were to take back control of Washington. Well, those comments definitely lit a fire under the Democrats. They're now on the offensive, hoping that the Republicans have overplayed their hands. So this is Schumer's strategy to get every Senate Republican on the record of being in favor of overturning the precedent set 49 years ago in Roe v. Wade. It's now time for our regular public service announcement. Say it with me. You may be done with COVID, but COVID isn't done with you. So the Biden administration is issuing a new warning that the U.S. could potentially see 100 million more COVID-19 infections this fall and winter. And officials are publicly stressing the need for more funding from Congress to combat the virus. With an anticipated rise in cases driven by yet another offshoot of the Omicron subvariant BA2, experts say now is not the time to loosen precaution measures. especially as so many people are attending graduations and other large gatherings this month. So protect yourself and the people around you. And election season is here. Tuesday is primary day in Nebraska and West Virginia. In Nebraska, everyone's watching the Republican race for governor. A guy named Charles Herbster is a rancher and businessman who was endorsed by the former guy and is facing multiple allegations that he inappropriately touched women, go figure. Trump stood by him even after the Nebraska Examiner reported back in April that seven women, including Republican State Senator Judy Slama, had accused Herbster of groping them at political events or beauty pageants. And an additional woman even accused him of kissing her forcibly. In six cases, at least one eyewitness corroborated the women's allegations. Of course, Herbster has denied them, calling them 100% false. Meanwhile, Donald Trump Jr. is scheduled to be deposed on Tuesday as part of a class action lawsuit alleging that some members of the Trump family collaborated with a fraudulent marketing company. Would they do that? Donald Trump and his two adult sons have agreed to sit for depositions in May and June. The former guy agreed to be deposed on June 16th, while Eric will sit for questioning on May 12th. Oh, to be a fly on the wall. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.